This morning's reading is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 11. Remember this saying, a few seeds make a small harvest, but a lot of seeds make a big harvest. Each of you must make up your own mind about how much to give. But don't feel sorry that you must give, and don't feel that you are forced to give. God loves people who love to give. God can bless you with everything you need, and you will always have more than enough to do all kinds of good things for others. The scriptures say, God freely gives his gifts to the poor and always does right. God gives seed to farmers and provides everyone with food. He will increase what you have so that you can give even more to those in need. You will be blessed in every way, and you will be able to keep on being generous. Then many people will thank God when we deliver your gift. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Miranda. So I want to say a few words about this reading and the meaning of harvest. So harvest is a really ancient tradition. It's much older than, say, Christmas or Easter. So we've been celebrating Christmas and Easter for about 2,000 years. The early church got together and they decided it was really important to remember, of course, when Jesus was born and then when Jesus died and rose again, that these are central things to those who follow Christ, for Christians, to understand, to celebrate and remember. Now, harvest has been a part of peoples, as in people throughout history, for as long as we can remember, as long as history goes back. There is a tradition of bringing things that you have, your crops, your produce, and laying it before your God or your gods. That's been going on for much longer than Christmas or Easter. That seems to be an intrinsic part of what it means to be a human being, is this sense that there's a God or there's gods out there somewhere, and in order to please them and appease them, we need to bring things and kind of bring them before our God. And the hope was that if you do that, if you bring, you know, your tin of baked beans, that then maybe God will forgive you for the bad things you've done. So people would come with all this anxiety of like bringing their crops and bringing their tins of baked beans, and they'd say, God, I hope this is enough to make me right with you and for you to forgive all the bad things I've done. Now, as Christians, as people who believe in Jesus, we don't need to do that. Because Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus laid down his life and took it up again and rose again so that we don't have to come with our anxiety and say, Lord, I hope that this crop that I've given you, this, you know, a tenth of this crop will be good enough so that you will please forgive me. As Christians, we know we're forgiven. That's our starting point, is that we know that we are forgiven and loved, not because of what we do, not because of the number of tins of baked beans we can bring to the front, but because God loves us and God died for us. And all we need to do is to accept that. It's a gift, thank you, a gift that we're given, and we're called to accept it, to receive it, because that's what you have to do with a gift, isn't it? If you don't receive it, you can't have it. So that's the premise of Christianity. And when we come to harvest, we're not bringing things so that God will be kind to us and forgive us. He's already kind to us. He's already forgiven us. The reason that we're bringing this is because we are called to be generous. We are called to look at what we have and to give thanks for it. We had Springwater School in here earlier this week, and they had their harvest service. And it's always fantastic when Springwater come in. It's always a bit chaotic, but it's always fantastic. And one of the things they did is they gave out sesame seeds for us to eat. So they went around the church giving out these sesame seeds, and we were all trying these sesame seeds. And then later on, the older children in the school had been growing pumpkins, and pumpkin seeds. We had pumpkin seeds. And then they grew some pumpkins. So throughout the year, they've been growing these pumpkins. And this very, very excited and proud sixth former came with this huge pumpkin that he'd grown, and he lifted it above his head, and he nearly fell over, actually. It was quite a scary moment. He lifted this pumpkin. But what was amazing is that a moment ago, we'd just been tasting these tiny little pumpkin seeds, and he was holding this huge pumpkin. It seems that within the world, within the created order, within the very soil that we come from, in the very soil that's around us, is this potential for growth that is way beyond what you would see its potential. You know, you look at this little seed, and then you look at this huge pumpkin. And I suppose part of what harvest is about, it's about, if you were a farmer, looking out on a field and seeing these crops grow and recognizing that you put these tiny seeds in the ground, you know, 6 months earlier, or I don't know how it works, 9 months earlier, and now you're looking out at this field and there's all this growth, and you're saying, thank you. That's what harvest is about. It's about saying thank you and recognizing
what you have. This morning's reading was from 2 Corinthians, which is a letter that was written. It was written by Paul, and it was written to a church in a place called Corinth. And as Paul was writing this letter, the section that we had today, he was trying to convince this church that they need to give money for the other churches and for the people, particularly in Jerusalem. Paul had a kind of charity scheme going where he was trying to raise money for people in Jerusalem, partly because people in Jerusalem at that point were struggling from a famine. There were lots of people who didn't have enough food, but also because that was where their church began. And Paul was trying to get them to understand that even though they're a church in a different place, they are connected to this worldwide family, and the church in Jerusalem is their brothers and sisters. So they'd obviously written a letter back to Paul saying, well, we don't want to give money. We don't have enough money for ourselves. So why are you asking us to give money to other people? We need to look after ourselves. And Paul writes in response to this, and he says, you must give, and you must give generously. He says, don't give reluctantly or under compulsion. Don't give just because I'm telling you to. Give generously, give with joy. But how do we do that? Paul says, if you sow sparingly, then you will reap sparingly. But if you sow generously, you will reap generously. And that's obvious, isn't it? If you sow 3 seeds, you possibly might get 1 or 2 things growing. If you sow 100 seeds, you're much likely to reap a much larger harvest. The question, I suppose, with all this is, do we have enough to be generous? That's what it comes down to, doesn't it? That anxiety that we might have when we're called to give away things, when we're called to bring and give things to other people, is what if we feel that we don't have enough? What if we feel that we don't have enough money to be generous and give away our money? What if we feel we don't have enough food to be generous and give enough food? What if we feel we don't have enough time or energy to help someone else out or to join this project or to help with that project? Because we feel, well, I'm busy. And I don't have enough money, and I don't have enough time, and I don't have enough energy. So what do we do if we're in that situation? Well, Jesus teaches us about this. In Matthew chapter 6, he's writing about worry and anxiety, and he says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. He says, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be given to you as well. Jesus is asking us to change our focus from the things that we think we need to something much bigger, beyond ourselves, beyond our own needs and our own goals. And he says this phrase, he says, the pagans run after these things. The pagans run after clothing and money and food and drink. And he says, you need to live differently. Can I get somebody please to come up and hold this prop for me? Yes, would you like to come up and hold it? Yep. Yep. What's your name? Lewis. Okay, Lewis. Lewis is going to hold that. Can you hold that up? And now I need another volunteer. Yeah, I thought you might be quite keen for this one. Let's see. Let's go. Okay, no, lots of green. Yeah, would you like to come up? Yeah. So Lewis is holding out our bag of sweets. And sorry, what's your name?
Darian.
And Darian, can you just stand on this lower step? Darian is focused on getting these sweets, okay? Now, Louis, I want you to walk down the aisle. And Darian, I want you to follow where the sweets go. So off you go. You walk down. So Darian is going after what is on offer here. And you see his focus is right on the sweets. He's looking at them, finding out where they are. Okay, if you turn around and come back. Okay, still keep focusing. That's it. He's focused on the sweets. He wants those sweets. His eyes are on them. He's thinking about, they're going to be so delicious. I can't wait till I get to eat those sweets. He's thinking, will the vicar let me eat these sweets? Or is it just some kind of stupid sermon illustration? Let's find out, shall we? So what I want you to think about is that when Jesus says the pagans run after these things, when he says pagan, he means people who don't follow Jesus, people who either have no God or who have lots of gods. And their focus is on the things that they want to have. Their focus is on clothing, food, money, status. That's kind of a big thing that people are after. In this case, it's a bag of sweets, it's food. And our focus is on those things. And Jesus is saying that the pagans, they live their life following after those things. They live their life chasing after those things. Thank you. You guys can sit down and you can take the sweets as well and you can share them out. Well, if you want to, that's up to you. But I'm encouraging you to share them out. Jesus is saying that people's focus is often all about these things, chasing after them and going after them. And if you live your life that way, then your eyes are cast downward. And Jesus says we need to have our focus on something else. So the question this morning is, where is your focus? Is it on the things that you're going after? Is it on, you know, a promotion at work or something you need? Is it on something that you don't have? Or is it on something beyond that, something bigger? Because Jesus says if you focus beyond that, all those things, that the food you need, the water you need, the things you need will be given to you anyway. Jesus isn't saying, look at the kingdom and then you're going to starve, you're not going to have anything. He's saying, focus on something bigger. It's not that you don't need these things, it's that you don't need these things to be your focus. Because we can choose where we focus. We can choose what we count. Are we counting our problems? Are we counting our lack, the things we don't have? Do we see other people with stuff and think, oh, I wish I had that, I wish I had that? Or are we counting our blessings? Are we looking at what we do have? Because that makes a huge difference to how you live. Where is your gaze? Are we looking upwards or are we looking downwards? We need to choose where our focus is. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom. And the kingdom isn't about seeking first getting into heaven. The kingdom is when God is in charge of your life. And that might seem like quite a scary thing because you think, no, I'm in charge of my life. I'm the king of my life. And Jesus says, no, what you need is something beyond your life, beyond yourself. Because you are made for more than simply fulfilling your own needs and desires. You are made for something bigger. You are made to be part of something that's more than simply chasing after the things that the pagans chase after. Chasing after that bag of sweets on the end of a string, on the end of a piece of stick. You're made for more than that. You're to seek first the kingdom. And Jesus talks about Paul writes about a harvest of righteousness. What righteousness means is being put right with God. And Paul doesn't just want that for individuals. The big story of the Bible is that the harvest of righteousness is for all people, that we are all put right with God. In fact, that the whole of the created order is put right with God. That's what it means to have heaven on earth. That's what we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. That's a harvest of righteousness when everything that's wrong in the world is put right and made right, both within ourselves, the things that are wrong in ourselves, but also the things that are wrong in the world. But we don't just wait for that to when Jesus comes back, for when we go to heaven. We work for that now, and we see it break into our world now. And we see it when we're generous. We'll see it when this food goes to the Harrogate Homeless Project, and when people are blessed, we'll see the kingdom come. I wonder if anybody saw a documentary that was on Friday night on BBC Two, all about Christians Against Poverty. And the documentary maker was trying to get to the question of, well, are you doing this to help people out of poverty, or are you doing this to make people Christians? And you could see in his questioning that he was trying to work that out. And actually, by the end of the documentary, you realise that you can't separate those two things. That actually, for us as Christians, the good news is both about helping the poor, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting those that are in prison, visiting those that are in hospital, helping the sick, and telling them about Jesus. And they're not two separate things. It's the same thing. Because when we give somebody food, we tell them that they're loved. When we give somebody help, we tell them that God loves them and that Jesus is important to them and that they are made to have a relationship with God. They're not two separate things. We're called to seek first the kingdom. And in doing that, we're called to feed the hungry. And in doing that, we're called to serve the poor. And in doing that, we're called to make what is wrong right. Let me pray. Lord God, we thank you for your message about seeking first the kingdom. And we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to see beyond our immediate needs, to see the needs of the world, and to seek a bigger picture, to seek your kingdom. We pray, Lord, for your kingdom to come and your will to be done here on earth. We pray for those who are hungry, for those who are homeless and hurting, for those who have suffered the devastation of earthquake and tsunami. And we pray for those who are seeking to help, seeking to bring your kingdom. And we pray that we would not simply look after our own wants and desires, but we would look beyond them to see your kingdom come on earth as in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.